You know, the simplicity that's in Christ is so wonderful. It's so wonderful to know that we can, in our own simple way, serve God and be blessed of the Lord. I'd like to read some today to you from the book of St. Luke, the 2nd chapter and the 30th verse. I just want to read one line of scripture here today. It says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon, being led up by the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God into the temple, right at the time of the dedication of Jesus, this man who had waited for the consolation of Israel and had waited for the wonderful things of God to be shown him, and that the Spirit of God had spoken to him, all of a sudden here, this thing is coming to pass, and Simeon goes into the temple to behold the wonderful Christ child. You know, there's nothing more thrilling than the moment when you come face to face with God and suddenly you behold the wonderful Christ child. The greatest thrill of my life is that moment that I remember coming face to face with the Christ child, when I looked and I could say within my heart, "Oh, Heavenly Father, I have seen thy salvation." Before then, I did not know what real, genuine living was all about. I had done many things in my life, just as many people have done. I'd been many places in my life, but I want you to know that I had never experienced anything like being born again. And the day that I came face to face with Jesus, and I realized what it was like to serve God, and I realized what it was like to be born again, and I realized what it was like to have the great Spirit of God come down within my heart and into my life and lift this load that man carries from day to day, I tell you what, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. "I have seen thy salvation," Simeon said. "I've waited many years, but I have seen thy salvation." Oh, friend, today it would be so wonderful if you that have never been born again, if you today with Simeon could experience this great thing, if you could take the load that's upon your shoulders today, and if you could lay your burdens down at the feet of the Christ child, and you could open your heart to God and feel that wonderful relief that can only come from God, and say with Simeon, "Father, I have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have beheld thy salvation." What a great relief it would be. Oh, what an experience it is to feel the wonderful strength of God and feel the power of God that opens your understanding, that tells you that you belong to Him. You know, you could belong to many things in this world. You could be the son of a king. You could be the son of a president. But I'll tell you what, you'll never experience anything like being a son of God. There is nothing like being a son of God. Being a dignitary in the world, that's a great thing. Being born into great riches and having great wealth and having the desire of your heart in this world, that is a great thing. But beloved friend, there is nothing like being a son of God. That is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to mankind. And today, as I stand here talking with you, I can say with Simeon of old, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of God." And I can say today that I am truly a son of God. John said, "Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like. But when we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There is one thing that gives us a consolation. There is one thought and one hope that inspires us from day to day, and that is that one day Jesus is going to return for us, and this hope inspires and this hope causes faith in our heart that brings a divine purification that keeps us clean and keeps us alert and keeps us ready for the things of God. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation," Simeon said. Oh, beloved friend, today, if you haven't experienced that wonderful meeting, the Christ child, if you've never come to know Jesus, if you've never been born again, I invite you today to call upon the name of Jesus. You know, lots of people belong to a church. They've been going to church for many years, but they're very sad people. They really don't have an experience with God. They've never come to know Jesus. They've never had their burdens lifted. They've never come into the reality of serving the Son of God. They don't know what it is to have a real, true friend in the time of need. They've never come to that place to understand. They've never known this divine experience. They can't say with Simeon of old that mine eyes have seen the salvation of God, because their eyes have never seen the salvation of God. You know, when we speak of eyes beholding the salvation of the Lord, we're not speaking of these eyes. As I say so many times, you know, scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from my eye to my brain. And we think about seeing God with these eyes, but this isn't what Simeon was speaking of. Even though Simeon in that day actually saw the natural Christ child, yet there's a great spiritual significance in what God is telling us. When you really behold the salvation of God, beloved friend, you don't behold it with your natural eyes, but you are looking spiritually into a great world of great depths and dimension. And you are transformated by the renewing of your mind, Paul tells us, into a great dimensional height that surpasses all of this world. And you go into a great place, as it was with Paul the Apostle, being caught up in a great state of ecstasy, as he referred to it in the third heaven. Going up into the great Spirit of God, into the great exhilaration of God, and being illuminated with that great, powerful, activating Spirit of God, having your cup to run over, feeling that great, wonderful, exhilarating experience, that overflowing fountain where David used the terms that my cup overflows, for out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible said we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wells of salvation with joy. We shall draw those waters out of the wells of salvation with joy. For serving the Lord is joy. It's peace. It's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. When we get acquainted with the Spirit, when we're born again, when we come to know God and we come to understand God, then we truly can say, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. You know, when I say eyes, I say again, eyes of understanding. For the writer made the statement that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend the heights, the depth. He said the width, and then he said the length. That we may be able to comprehend the greatness of God by the mind of understanding, by the eye of understanding, by the mind of Christ Jesus. Whereas the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Though we are being made in the image of God by God, then we don't think it robbery that we should have the minds of Christ, or that we should come into the favor of Christ, or that we should be like Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the image of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal to God. Therefore God, by his own spilt blood, through the blood veins of his lovely Son, hath made us equal to himself. And today we stand here as the sons of God. Today we can stand and communicate with you. We can give a word of testimony to you. All because of the grace of God and the wonderfulness of God, we can speak with a more sure word of prophecy. Bring to you a present day truth that can enlighten you and inspire you, something that can help you in this hour. Oh, beloved friend, what an experience. If you've never known Jesus, you need to get acquainted with Jesus. Many people in the churches have never got acquainted with Jesus. Did you know that there are preachers today that are in the church who have never got acquainted with Jesus? There are many preachers across the world today, and they are doing their very best to preach the gospel. All formality, all ritualistics, never having been inspired of God. But I want you to know, a real God-called preacher, it doesn't matter how much he studies, how much he goes to seminary or whatever to preach the gospel, first of all, he's got to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He's got to be inspired of God, or he still isn't called by God to the ministry. You know, you've got to have the inner talent, and then you can do all that you want to develop it. But beloved friend, if you don't have that inspiration of God, if you don't have that calling to the ministry, it doesn't matter how much you go to college to be a minister. It doesn't matter how many churches that they might give you from some movement that you belong to because they favor you or your family. That doesn't make you a minister of God. Neither will God hear you. Neither will God communicate with you. Neither will God speak through you to the people. But I'll tell you what, if you get that inspiration from God, you can do all you want to then. You can go down to the nearby school as Paul did and preach at the school. You can teach them down there instead of them teaching you. You can go away and study for years like Paul did, learning more about God and the wonderful inspiration of Christ. You can give yourself to fasting and prayer. You can give yourself to preparation, that you might study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. That is if you receive the inspiration, but sad to say that many preachers today are not really called to the ministry. They haven't really been called, and that's what's wrong with the church today. Many people in the church today are not called to salvation. They've never seen the salvation of God. They've never been born again. They've become members of a church. And to tell you the truth, they're much worse off than they was before they ever became members. They'd have been a lot better off if they'd have stayed out in the world, in the sense that they have been blinded to the extent that they feel that everything is all right when it isn't all right, friend. You know, when a person is out in the world, they know that they need salvation. They understand that they need salvation. And God sends the ministry out there to them, and they realize that they're godless. They don't have any God. And so then they know that they need salvation. But you know, when you get people into the church and you see people into the church all over the nation, coming in and out among the saints of God, and they've been told that they're Christians when they've not had a born-again experience, those people become proselytes. And Jesus referred to those people as being twice dead, plucked up by the root, or twofold more, the child of hell than before. He said there is some that compass land and sea to make a proselyte, twofold more, the child of hell. Now, let me warn you that you must be born again. Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of God." Beloved friend, what you want to do is get an experience with God. A lot of people out there today that's looking and listening, you need an experience with God. There are people all over the world, in every walk of life, in all denominational walks of life, there are people that need an experience with God. You know, this doesn't sound too good. I know I'll get a little repercussion from this, maybe a few flashbacks. But I want you to know the trouble with the world today is partly the church. The church today is in such condition in that they haven't gone on with God that they have partially blinded the world. They stand at the door and they won't go in, and all of the others that are coming they hinder. Many hundreds and thousands of people would have sought the Lord Jesus Christ had it not been that the world saw the greed of the church. Had the world not seen the selfishness of the church, and had the world not seen the unconcern toward real godly and holy living in the church. But this is, as the world uses the terms, it's turned the world off to the things of God. And they don't have any desire to go on with God, beloved friend. But I want you to know that in the day of judgment, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those people that have played the hypocrite. I want you to know that God still today, in spite of those people, God still today has real Christians. God still today has a real church. God still today has real born-again believers. God today still has those that love Him. And let me tell you that are listening out there, those that are looking, let me tell you something. Don't let someone get between you and Jesus. Don't let somebody keep you from seeing the salvation of God. It doesn't matter what those people do. It doesn't matter what the church so-called does. Remember, God has a true church. God has a true way of life. And there are people that are dedicated to God that loves God with all of their heart. and they are ready to extend to you a helping hand to reach out and save your soul, and they're not interested in you from a financial perspective of life, beloved friend, but they're interested in you because of a God concern, and they want to help your soul. So then I ask you today to do something about it. Ask God to show you the glory of God. Ask God to show you His salvation. You know, the Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory. So then I'm telling you today, turn to God. Give God a chance. You that are looking, wherever you're at today, in the hospitals or wherever, I say this so often in the convalescent homes across the nation, wherever you're at, I want you to think about Jesus. And I want you to pray with me today. The Bible said, when you pray, believe. And I want to pray with you. And I want to believe with you. And I want God to do something for you. And I know God will do something for you. I feel the Holy Ghost moving on me right now. I feel the anointing right now. And I want to pray. I want you to pray with me right now as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I feel your mighty anointing and your great spirit, I ask you to heal Jesus. Oh, mighty God of heaven, as I feel this inspiration, that sick person that's in the bed today, I ask you to heal them, Father. Lord, the little crippled child, I ask you to heal them, Father. Let some great, mighty miracle take place. Oh, some unusual thing, Father, that even the world of medical science cannot explain. This you've done so many times. And I ask you to heal, Father. I ask through the compassion of God that you heal, O God, and that your great and mighty spirit pick up that one that's cast down in spirit. Oh God, I feel you picking them up right now, that bed patient. Lord, inspire them to believe even though it seems that they've lost hope. Give them a great inspiration. Let them see the sufferings of Job and the patience of Job and the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let them know that the promises of God are yea and amen. And oh God, that above all things, you want them to prosper and be in health, Father, even as their soul prospereth. I ask you, Jesus, to heal, and I ask you, Jesus, to save. I'm looking to you today to do it. Give me a good report, Father, as was the case of the elders of old. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I felt the Spirit of God moving, and I want you to write me a letter now. You that are out there, you hear the words of God, and you look in this direction, and I know God inspires you. Now remember, we're praying for you and we love you, and there's people here that pray with me and we get good reports. And I'm asking you to write me a letter. Let me know if God's done something for you. I say so often that there's no way that we can get acquainted unless we happen to be in your area or unless we learn about you through mail. So write us a letter. Let us hear from you, and let's link hands together and join forces together to evangelize the world for Jesus, because the time is very short, and soon Jesus is coming back. Until the next time we have a chance to minister to you, we'll say bye for now.